Good morning and welcome to St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church online worship for Sunday, May 23rd. I'm Pastor Randy Clausen and sharing ministry with Pastor Nick Sherman, and our youth worker is Taya Himes. It's the Victoria Long Weekend, and knowing that typically this begins the summer season with backyard barbecues and even camping, things are different obviously this year. While the pandemic is lessening its grip, there are still many people dealing with illness, and we encourage you to be persistent in support of public health measures. Last week, I showed you my garden as a patch of dirt, and if I can swing the camera around our yard over here to show you, it's been tilled and there have been plants planted. Both my parents grew up on farms, and though I didn't, I inherited somewhat of a love of gardening from them. And so I've planted tomatoes, peppers, and a few potatoes. And on the other side of the yard, there's even a few cucumbers growing. Growing vegetables helps keep me connected to God's act of providing us with food to eat. And so there's a partnership of the work that we do and the blessing that God gives. It's the joy of planting seed, watering, tending, while God is the one who gives the growth. Today we're continuing our worship series, #blessed, in which we're exploring the world of social media through the lens of the Beatitudes of Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount. You're invited to read the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew chapter 5 to 7. Later, Pastor Nick will be sharing the message, The Last Word, based on the Beatitude, Blessed Are the Meek. Few announcements. Once again, Pastor Nick is offering weekly reflections from the Psalms and then also a 10:45 time of visiting on Zoom. Contact him or the church office to participate with either of these ministries. Then at 11:30 this morning, grades 7 to 11 Sunday School are gathering online. Also online later this week, Wednesday, Middle of Life Group is meeting at 7 p.m. Friday is the Senior Youth, also at 7 p.m. And Saturday, Young Adults at 8 p.m. For these and other ministries, contact Youth Minister Taya Himes. Note that next Sunday, there will not be any Sunday school, as we will be sharing a drive-in worship service here at the church parking lot. And for the drive-in service, there will be parking attendants to help you find a spot. They will give you instructions for parking at a distance and also the instructions for tuning your radio so you can hear the service. Just a reminder, the church building will remain closed. Sharing in the lives of others is an important part of our faith, and you're invited next Sunday to bring along donations of non-perishable food items, and that's in support of community care. Your tithes and offerings also support the ministries of the church, and we would appreciate your sharing those at that time as well. Once again, we really look forward to seeing you next Sunday at the drive-in service. One other note I'll share, that this week, Friday and Saturday, the Mennonite Central Committee New Hamburg Relief Sale is taking place as a virtual online auction. Friday, starting at 7 p.m., there will be vintage quilts, furniture, gift baskets, and many other items to auction off. Then Saturday at 9 a.m., 150 beautiful quilts will be auctioned, and all of this fundraising for the Mennonite Central Committee engaged in relief work around the world. To find information on that, simply Google Mennonite Relief Sale for links, or contact the church office. Once again, just to remind you that church staff continue to work from home during these days, and if there's any need, either email or call us at home. For our call to worship this morning, be reading from Psalm 37. Before I begin, while the global pandemic continues to claim lives, to limit life, there are other happenings around the world. Racial injustice, economic hardships. Certainly this past week we've heard about bombings in different parts of the world, people experiencing theft by fraud, political scandal, and other such things. As we hear of these events, it begs us to ask, what does faith in God mean in a world where wickedness sometimes seems to pay handsome dividends? While Pastor Nick will address the beatitude of the meek, Psalm 37 identifies the meek as those who choose the way of patient faith instead of self-assertion. We are invited not to be deceived by appearances, but rather to wait patiently for God's deliverance. Psalm 37. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness a reward to shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger. Turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, for this time of worship, I pause from all the noise and the busyness of happenings around me. I want to tune my attention to what's on your heart. From the day-to-day decisions of what I do and to who I give my time, guide my steps to the attitude of love of Jesus, which seeks the blessing of others. May your love for me through Jesus be the power of forgiveness and grace needed for the healing of the life of at least one other person today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Previously recorded is the hymn, The Power of Your Love, led with us by the Church Praise and Worship Choir. Blessings to you. Often when two people get into a debate or an argument, one gets the last word, and they're generally accepted as the person who wins. When Jesus was on trial before the religious authorities, they thought they had the last word. When Jesus stood before Pilate, he thought he had the last word. When Jesus rose from the grave, it was God who continues to have the last word. I invite you to pray with me. God, forgive our tendency to see power and authority in the great halls of government or in secure buildings of banks. More often these days, we view power as that which is given to those on social media who exercise influence over thousands or even millions of followers. While we click buttons on our screens or tap icons on our devices, help us to recognize that real power lies in the healing touch of care and compassion for one another. While we've had to stay apart to prevent illness, we invite your healing of spiritual wellness. While the vaccinations provide defense against harmful viruses, we are deeply in need of being community for each other and with each other. Hear our heart's prayer, inviting your healing of our land. Give us hope that once again we can share as family and friends, supporting and caring with each other. As we pray for our community, I invite you to name before God one person who's been of special encouragement to you during the pandemic. God, I give you thanks for the person who has become a blessing to me in these past weeks and months. I also pray for the strangers behind masks who give assistance at the clinic, at the grocery store, through school, and in my neighborhood. From the restrictions of health and safety, may we learn new ways of caring and supporting one another because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. For all these things we pray in His name, looking to you to answer our prayers and be our guide. Amen. Once again, Praise and Worship Choir is going to be leading us in the song, We're Gonna Worship Christ the King. Thanks for joining us this morning.
We're gonna worship Christ the King. We're gonna worship Christ the King. We're gonna worship Christ the King and crown Him the Lord of everything. We're gonna worship Christ the King. We're gonna worship Christ the King.
No,
we're gonna worship
Christ the King.
And
crown Him the Lord all of everything. Lift up your hands, O you gates. Lift up your everlasting doors. Lift up your heads and say amen. The King of the glory will come in.
Now bring all your offerings to the King.
Bring all your offerings to the King. Bring all your offerings to the King. And pray He will bless the gifts we bring. Lift up your head, O you gates. Lift up your everlasting doors. Lift up your head and say amen. The King of the glory will come in. The King of the glory will come in. And then we'll rise up and praise Christ the King. Rise up and praise Christ the King. Rise up and praise Christ the King,
and crown Him the Lord of everything.
Crown Him the Lord of everything.
Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 18. Finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good, for they must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to do harm if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against you and your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit.
A couple of weeks ago, the social media giant Twitter made the headlines. Some of you may have caught this, heard or read this story. Twitter was set to roll out this new feature that identified angry and abusive language and then prompted users to consider revising or trashing what they had written, essentially providing users a chance for a sober second thought with what they were going to write. Apparently, they had run a trial version of this and seen that a significant percentage of users had changed or altogether deleted mean-spirited posts that they had drafted and edited. And based on the success, they decided to make that feature more widely functional. And so my understanding is that when the service's algorithms identify harmful or offensive language in a reply to a tweet, users will now receive a notification in which they're effectively asked something along the lines of, are you really sure you want to say that? Are you really sure you want to do this? Now, I'll often go on Twitter to look someone up or look around, but I'm not a registered user myself. I would say, though, that I think it would sometimes be helpful to have something like that for email or maybe just a general day-to-day conversation. A little box that pops up in front of me and says, how about we stop and think about that before we say it? In any case, the news story was fascinating to me to hear, and I'll circle back to it a bit later. Today we're continuing our sermon series called Hashtag Blessed, and in which we're exploring the world of social media through the lens of the Beatitudes. And last week, if you were listening, watching along, you'll remember that we started off with a bit of an introduction to the Beatitudes and to these questions that are central to them, these questions of what does it mean to be blessed and who gets to be blessed as part of God's kingdom. We spent our time focusing on the first of Jesus' Beatitudes, blessed are the poor or the poor in spirit. And in the interest of time, we'll be skipping past the second Beatitude today, blessed are those who mourn, and looking at the third instead. And it goes like this. We just heard it read. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I'll start by saying that this word meek is actually somewhat difficult to define. It's somewhat hard to define. When you read biblical scholars talking about it, you most often see them describing it in terms of what being meek is not. It's easier apparently to talk about what the opposite of meek is. So meek people, they explain, are not easily provoked. They're not knee-jerk reaction types. They're not quick to anger types. Meek people aren't proud or pretentious. They're not violent or vengeful. The meek people are self-controlled in a way. They have a kind of self-restraint. One writer put it like this: meek people are not domineering, aggressive, or harsh. They don't assert themselves over others to advance their own causes. They don't lord it over people, as Jesus said himself later in the Gospels. Which all sounds really nice, doesn't it? I would love to spend the rest of my life around people just like that, and I imagine most of you would as well. But here's the problem. Jesus was talking about a kingdom. And as I shared last week, all the people who were listening to Jesus that day would have had all these expectations about what that was going to look like. I shared a little bit about this already. When people heard Jesus start to preach and say the kingdom of heaven is near, they would have had all these assumptions about what that kingdom would look like. Carol Ahrens, a Canadian songwriter and educator and writer, once gave a talk about the Beatitudes to a Vancouver church. And she said that in Jesus' day, the Jewish people were waiting for the manifesto. They were looking for the plan, the military strategy, the military options. That's what they thought Jesus was going to describe when he began talking to people about this kingdom. And so think about all those expectations and then picture Jesus launching into his sermon on the hilltop and saying this: blessed are the poor, blessed are the mourners, blessed are the meek and the spiritual hungry, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in hearts, the peacemakers and the persecuted. People would have been astonished. People would have been speechless. Some of them likely would have gasped or even laughed at Jesus. Carol Ahrens shares in her talk that they probably would have said something along the lines of, what? How is this the plan? How is this God's deliverance plan? They thought they were going to hear, blessed are you when you set things right and you're a winner and you come out on top and you get to live life the way you're meant to live it. This is completely confusing, she says. When Jesus began preaching and talking about this kingdom of heaven that was coming into the world, people would have expected the rally cry of a strong-armed savior. They would have looked for all the big proposals and policies of a warlord messiah. When people heard Jesus talk about God's kingdom being set up on earth, they would have looked for this violent overthrow of Rome and the establishment of a counter-empire. Instead, Jesus tells them that the kingdom of God is made up of this blessed bunch of misfits, including, he says, the meek. As I shared last week, I believe that with familiarity and repetition, some of us can lose sense of just how radical and explosive Jesus' Beatitudes are. Jesus' words here are shocking and subversive. Part of this, as I said, has to do with the way that we've often been taught the Beatitudes. I've been talking to a few people about this this past week as they've reflected on the message. We've often been told that the Beatitudes are a kind of list of qualities that we should try to live out in our lives, kind of core competencies for Christians, if you're familiar with that sort of thing from the business world. And some of them really are good qualities, but that's simply not what Jesus is teaching here. Jesus isn't providing people good advice. He isn't telling us how we can be better people. Jesus is delivering good news. If you look at the Beatitudes in their original Greek, you'll see that there's only one imperative in the whole section, and it's indirect. There aren't any commands or directions here. In other words, we're not being told to do anything in the Beatitudes. Instead, we're told something about what God has done and is doing in bringing about the kingdom of heaven to earth. What Jesus is saying is that through this new kingdom reality that God is bringing into the world, God's blessing is extended to anyone and everyone who would receive it, including the types of people that we would assume to be unblessed. Through Jesus, God's unconditional love is made available to anyone who would receive it, including all the people we would otherwise label and disregard as being unfortunate, unfavored, underprivileged, and just plain underwhelming. This includes those who are meek. When people thought about meekness in Jesus' day, they wouldn't have connected it to God's blessing. As with today, they would have been stereotyped as being spineless and subservient, kind of doormats that just let people walk all over them. Meek people were seen as the ones who ended up defeated, not victorious when it came to clashes of power. No one in that day would have thought that God's revolution would be led by humble and gentle people. I think people would have laughed at this, because the sorts of people we expect to advance a cause like a religious political kingdom are not self-effacing or soft-spoken people. They're not mild and lowly types who just let things go. No, the kinds of people who can set up and run a kingdom are commanding, they're controlling. They're people who embody power and can impose their will. They're people who strike when they're struck. They're people who insist on having the last words. Blessed are the meek, Jesus said, for they will inherit the earth. There's a connection here to Psalm 37, which we heard read in part for our call to worship. And I think that looking at the connection can help us understand a bit more about what Jesus might be saying here in this teaching. Here are the verses that I'm talking about. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the lands. Do you hear the connection? Do you see it? And then continuing in the next verses. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the lands and enjoy peace and prosperity. The meek will inherit the lands. Here again, it seems like that to understand meekness, it's helpful to compare it to its opposites. That's what the psalm writer is doing here in these verses. The opposite of meekness, he says, is anger. It's wrath and this kind of unnecessary worry, unnecessary fretting about evil in the world. The opposite of meekness, to draw from our second reading for today, is repaying evil for evil and insult for insults. Which brings me back to Twitter and this fascinating feature that they're introducing. Because like the hashtag that I talked about last week, I think it says something. As a social media tool, it says something about the way that we view the world and how we live within it. I believe it illustrates that it's really easy to repay evil for evil. It really doesn't take that much time, effort, or creativity to do that. In fact, it's so easy to match insult for insult that in order to maintain their integrity and preserve their reputation, a social media company had to set up a system that helps prevent people from doing that. It shows us this tendency within ourselves. In 2014, the social media company Facebook completed the secret study involving around 700,000 of its users. As part of the study, those users' feeds were altered. And so what they saw when they logged in, when they went on the sites, changed. And this was done without their knowledge. For this study, some people began to see more positive content whenever they logged on. And others had their feeds adjusted to display more negative content and negative comments. And the study was meant to see how people react and respond to different things that they see online. I'll say here that Facebook obviously got in a lot of hot water for this study, but the results are really interesting. What they found was that when we're on social media, we tend to mirror the moods and the behaviors of others. This will likely sound obvious, but the people who scrolled through uplifting and upbeat posts tended to post more positive things themselves. And the people who saw more negative things likewise tended to write more negative and critical things in response. And the article, the writer of the article where I was reading this said it like this. When you're on the receiving end of a personal attack, it's hurtful. And it increases the likelihood that you'll lash out in return. Again, this is fascinating to me. You can read about other studies like this as well. We have this tendency inside of ourselves to repay evil for evil and match insult for insults. And that often comes out in this cruel and combative language that we see in the comments and reply sections. And because of that tendency and that behavior that we see so often, we have all these assumptions about who wins when it comes to life online, who comes out as a success when it comes to these online interactions. And I think that most people would say that it's the person with the last words, because that's how you advance a kingdom. That's how you make it on the internet, through clouts and clever comebacks, through quick rebuttals and written retaliation, through being right and being loud about it. Blessed are all of the people that we would assume would be unblessed, Jesus says. He turns it all on its head. Again, this is what he's doing with the Beatitudes. He's challenging all of these assumptions that we have about who's a winner and who's well off in the world, and saying that you don't have to have it good in the eyes of the world in order to participate in the gospel life, in order to participate in the good life according to God. He tells us that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and open to anyone who would enter in, not only the people we would assume to be at the top when it comes to a kingdom. And so blessed, we might say, are the cyberbullied. Blessed are those who get trolled. Blessed are the ones at the bottoms of the digital dog piles. Blessed are those who get hacked, who are harassed, and those who are attacked. Blessed are the criticized, the called outs, and the canceled. Blessed are the unfriended, the unfollowed, and the blocked. Blessed are the disliked and the downvoted. Blessed are the ones that no one likes and the ones that no one listens to. Blessed are the ones with the quiet voices and the ones without voices. Blessed are the ones who say kind things in response to callous things, the ones who are honest and humble in the midst of hostile exchanges. Blessed are the people without the high profiles and the big platforms. Blessed are the people who have no influence online. Jesus tells us that through him, God's blessing is available to everyone, including all the people we would assume to be unblessed. Again, as I said last week, this doesn't mean that we need to approve of everything that got these people to those places. And it doesn't mean that we should aspire to end up in the same places ourselves. It also doesn't mean that we shouldn't help people who've been traumatized by online interactions or work to create digital spaces that are more civil and safe. What Jesus is saying is that in the Beatitudes is that God's kingdom blessings is accessible to everyone and not only the people that we'd first expect. When Jesus showed up, people expected that a kingdom would come into power by force and by coercion. They assumed that kingdom people would be powerful, put together types, the movers and shakers of society. And Jesus turns it all around. He flips it all around and said that God's kingdom is available to everyone, including the ones we'd least expect, like those who are poor, and those who mourn, and those who are meek. All that people need to do is receive it, and to allow their lives to be transformed by it. As I said last week, I believe this makes for really good news, which is much better than good advice, in my opinion. Because chances are, if you're like me, you've been there, or you know other people who've been there as well. And it means that we don't need to repay evil for evil and match insult for insult. We can speak up when we need to, yes. We see that clearly in our second reading. But we can also see that we can do that with a spirit of blessing and gentleness and respect. And that's something we can do online for those of us who are there, of course, but also something that we can do when we're communicating in all sorts of other different ways as well. Especially if you're someone like me who could sometimes use a little pop-up box that asks you, do you really want to say that? Blessed are the meek, Jesus says, for they will inherit the earth. Amen. Once again, to everyone who contributed to today's service and who helped put it together and make it available online. I share these words of blessing as we go from this time. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good words and deeds. Amen.